This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Hi there. I'm coming on to say it is day 24 since our mom was taken in the dark of night from her bed. And every hour and minute and second and every long night has been agony since then, of worrying about her and fearing for her and aching for her. And most of all, just missing her, just missing her. We know that millions of you have been praying. So many people have been praying of every faith and no faith at all, praying for her return. And we feel those prayers. Please keep praying without ceasing. We still believe. We still believe in a miracle. We still believe that she can come home. Hope against hope. As my sister says, we are blowing on the embers of hope. We also know that she may be lost. She may already be gone. She may have already gone home to the Lord that she loves and is dancing in heaven with her mom and her dad and with her beloved brother, Pierce. And with our daddy. Yes. If this is what is to be, then we will accept it. But we need to know where she is. We need her to come home. For that reason, we are offering a family reward of up to $1 million. For any information that leads us to her recovery. All of the information about this reward and the details is in the caption below. You can call the 1-800 tip line. You can be anonymous if you want. Someone out there knows something that can bring her home. Somebody knows. We are begging you to please come forward now. We also know that we are not alone in our loss. We know there are millions of families that have suffered with this kind of uncertainty. And for that reason today, we also are donating $500,000 to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children for their work in helping families who are coping with loss and actively looking for those who are lost. We are hoping that the attention that has been given to our mom and our family will extend to all the families like ours who are in need and need prayers and need support. So please, if you hear this message, if you've been waiting and you haven't been sure, let this be your sign to please come forward, tell what you know, and help us bring our beloved mom home so that we can either celebrate a glorious, miraculous homecoming or celebrate the beautiful, brave, and courageous, and noble life that she has lived. Please be the light in the dark. Thank you.
Our friend, Savannah, in a heartbreaking plea for help, not just combining with her family to offer up to $1 million reward for information leading to her mother, but also donating $500,000 to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And in her pain, her pain, her immense pain, she mentions other people that are suffering tonight. Whoever knows about Nancy Guthrie's whereabouts that sees that and does not act must have a heart of stone. Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy Guthrie, missing. Day 24 of agony for the family. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. What can we learn from this video?
How did this person get in? How did they exit?
I'm wondering if there had to be two people.
Well, I think this is going to be the tip of the iceberg. We're going to see more. We're going to have a better idea as to what happened.
Here at Crime Stories, in conjunction with you, yes, we read every tweet, every Facebook, every Insta, have been wondering about the two guys or the two outfits or the same guy with and without a backpack. How did that happen? We have speculated. We have discussed it. We have analyzed it repeatedly. Why? When I'm trying a case, I lead with my strongest evidence in opening statements, in putting a witness up on the stand, in closing statements. I hit it, and quit it. That's almost all we have is the video of the porch guy, but I guarantee you it's not all that there is. In multiple cases, one piece of evidence can reveal so much. And that is why everyone is combing over and over and over the porch video. Let's see the two guys. I still don't think it's two guys. But two guys, it was argued specifically originally by Dave Mack. Two guys, one with a backpack, one without, both of them seemingly similarly outfitted. But now a new theory has emerged. The new theory is that image was from an earlier skulking episode. Okay, Dave Mack joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. What do we know? And don't tell me what Nanos is saying. Okay, don't care right now about that. Just tell me what we know.
Well, you know, Nancy, the videos from the front porch are not time-stamped. So we don't know. As the layers of this video are pulled, it's kind of like painting on a house, where a house gets painted year after year, and it has layers of paint. The same thing is true here with the video. They're having to pull back the video layer by layer and lightly peeling it apart, and they cannot get a timestamp. We don't know the day, time, or anything. We only know what we're watching in front of us there. You see guy with the gloves and the backpack and the gun holster and all that with the weeds. The other picture could have come from the same night, the same time, or on another day. And that's what is being speculated about. We have been watching this since the very beginning. Our team in New York had these separated early on. It seems like we're the only ones that have been paying attention to having two separate looking photos of the alleged kidnapper at this point. So everything is speculation, Nancy. I could still be right. They could be brothers, or it could be the same guy.
Okay, so now you've thrown in that they're not just identically dressed, that they're brothers. Okay, I don't know how you've deciphered that.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Straight out to special guest joining us. You know him well now, Scott Eicher. He is a digital and forensics expert, founding member, and I say it every night because I cannot stress it enough, founding member of the FBI's Cellular Analysis Survey Team. What is that? Anachronism? CAST, C-A-S-T. What does it mean? They are responsible for doing the data dump, getting all the cell phone data, Wi-Fi data that was occurring in Nancy Guthrie's neighborhood at the time she goes missing, and more. People are amassing it, and then they have other agents analyzing it. He is now at Precision Cellular Analysis. Scott, not only that, homicide in Norfolk, Virginia, 12 years. Scott, what do you make of what Dave Mack just explained? I believe he's referring to the scratching process that you first told us about.
Yes, he is referring to the scratching process. Now, you remember initially the sheriff's office said they couldn't get the video because the Guthries did not have any subscription to that Nest camera system at their house. Well, Cass kind of came in later on and at their sheriff's request dug into that. And we've had experience dealing with Google, and we know Google very well from what we other things we do. We went back to Google and said, hey, look, even though it's not being sent, there's no subscription and it's not on the family's phones, is it hiding somewhere in your system? They were able to dig deep into the cloud related to the camera at the front door and pull this video. The problem was no timestamps, no date stamps. So that's where we're running into with this speculation on whether this second guy was there days before, hours before, or that that other picture is after the guy was on the porch with the gun. We just don't know when it occurred. So we're making speculation on, you know, the sequence of events.
Okay, let's analyze it both ways. Okay. Guys, this is what you have to do when you try a case. You have to take a piece of evidence and figure out what can I prove, if anything, of what probative or evidentiary value is it? Okay, we've got two images. To me, common sense is it was the same night. So let's go with that possibility. If it's the same night, it's either two people dressed the same, which is highly doubtful in my mind, not to Dave Mack, but in my mind. But in one photo, he has the backpack, in the other, he doesn't. What does that prove to me? It proves he got the backpack from somewhere. Did he have a car waiting? Can we get the car on video? Is there an accomplice in the car? Also, the time. Did he come up and skulk around earlier and then go back and get the backpack? Because he definitely had the backpack when he was entering or trying to enter the door and take down the door cam. That tells me, think it through, everybody. Hey, I'm not your school teacher. Jump in if you have an idea, for Pete's sake. You're the brain trust. That tells me, if this occurred on the same night, that the backpack photo was second because he was entering with the backpack. So he was there skulking earlier without the backpack. Okay, Scott Eicher, follow it through to its logical conclusion. What does that, if anything, tell you? We can't just sit here and look at the pictures and not figure it out, for Pete's sake. So what do you glean from that, Eicher?
What I glean from that is a little bit different than you, Nancy. I see the first time he comes up, he has the backpack, he has the gun, and he gets the brush. He then gets into the house, in my mind, after wearing all that stuff. He's gone back out, leaving the backpack in the house temporarily. He's gone back out, and he's coming back to the doorway without the backpack, and they capture him again. Because why would you?
Why would he come back?
with that?
He's gone.
Well,
in,
he's got to go
left,
in and out.
He's coming back to the scene. What?
No, he's coming in and out. He's probably either dealing with Nancy and getting her in and out, and getting his stuff in and out. Or he's dealing with his accomplice that he's meeting outside and coming back and forth.
Okay. Dave?
I think the same thing. Nancy, I'm looking at this a little bit different.
Oh, good grief. No, 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 no. Look around. Uh-uh. You're not in your den at home watching TV with your children. You're on Crime Stories. You can't say what he said. No. Have an original thought. What? Think.
Wasn't
the Lord gave you a brain. Use it.
Nancy, All right. Look, when they reached out to neighbors, investigators reached out to neighbors for videotape surveillance film January 11th, 9 p.m. to midnight. This could be the reason right here. Maybe they already knew the suspect had been in the hood looking around. And on that date and time, they want to see if they can find this guy walking in the neighborhood, driving his car, what have you. But that could have been from that night. Again, purely speculation. But it could be the same guy on a different night. And that could be the answer to the question, why do they want video from January 11th, 9 p.m. to midnight?
That's not pure speculation, Dave Mack. That is an educated opinion. There's a big difference. You're not just reading the tea leaves or looking in a crystal ball. You're applying what you know to the facts that you're seeing. And I think that's a very good theory. Okay, straight out to Dr. Bethany Marshall. We've got two routes we can take with these photos. One, it was from an earlier date when he was skulking around, which shows premeditation to the max. It also, Bethany Marshall, if true, if it is from an earlier date, that gives us a bigger window of obtaining evidence. And what I mean by that is, if he was there on an earlier date, maybe he didn't hide his vehicle so well because he was just skulking and casing. Maybe he, I don't know, walked in front of other cameras. Maybe he had a cell phone turned on that evening. It could be a wealth of information if it was an earlier stakeout. See what I mean? But what does it tell you guys? Dr. Bethany Marshall is a renowned psychoanalyst joining us out of Beverly Hills tonight. She's the author of Deal Breaker. You can see her on Peacock, and you can find her at drbethanymarshall.com. She spends her life analyzing people's behavior. So what would that mean to you? Let's go with Dave's theory. If he had been there before, on an earlier date.
Well, it tells me, first of all, that he has a preoccupation with Nancy Guthrie, as I've discussed with you before. This is somebody who is fascinated by her for some reason. Either he's targeted her before, he knows he's going to target
her. Maybe he just wants her money.
Well, that's what I mean, like a big payday of some sort. And Nancy, there's something very odd about his body language. I cannot quite put my finger on it. It's as if he's nonchalant in some strange way. And it makes me as interested in what we're not seeing as what we're seeing. What are we not seeing? We're not seeing how he's casing the rest of the house. We're not seeing what he's doing with that backpack. Does he have it on and then he sets it in the dirt and then he puts it back on again, sets it in the dirt? Is he setting it down, opening it, closing it? What does that tell us about evidence? What is in that backpack? What about the sloppy gun that is just hanging over his crotch? What does he actually think he is going to do with that gun? Obviously, there is nothing but an 84-year-old woman in that house. Why does he keep touching it? Why does he think he's going to need it? There are no police officers around at that time of night. So what's the relationship between the gun casing the house and abducting an 84-year-old woman?
I think I know the answer to that, Bethany. Remember Richard Allen in Delphi, who jacked the gun in front of the little girls, Abby and Libby, to scare them? An idiot that he was, didn't realize he jacked out a bullet, and that bullet was traced back to that gun in his home. It's an intimidation technique. But while she was talking, Scott Eicher, I had a thought, and I'm going to disagree with you, which... You know, I enter this disagreement with trepidation because you're the cast expert, but you said the first trip was going to the door cam with the gun on and then putting all that away and coming back in. I disagree, and this is why, something Bethany just said. I think he had the gun for intimidation purposes, and he went in to intimidate her and take her out with the gun. And I don't think he would have put that gun down as long as he was in the middle of the kidnap. Just that's food for thought. Just percolate on that. Just think about that. guys, there's two alternatives. One, this photo was from earlier, and it may coincide, as Dave Mack said, with when the sheriffs asked for video surveillance from everybody's cam around January 11. Now, remember, she was taken in the early morning hours, Feb 1, right? So this proves, if it was that date, that he had been planning this for a long time, and it shifts the paradigm. It shifts the investigation as to searching for finding those clothes, searching for the purchase of the gun, the holster, the ski mask, the whole shebang would move back a month. See what I mean?
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
And I'm also curious, I'll circle back with you, Iker, on this. How do we mine Amazon if these items were all purchased on Amazon? Would it be easier to do that or to get from a brick and mortar, a Walmart just standing there? Anyway, and guys, really, there's so many things, so many fragments. That's why you have to have a big blackboard to write it all, write it on, to keep up with it all. The gun. You really think he walked into ye old gun shoppy and bought it? No. He probably got it somewhere where he would not have to give ID, where it couldn't be traced. I don't know. Somehow at a gun shop, from a friend, a stolen weapon, black market, don't know that. But I guarantee you, I think the odds are really low that he walked in with his ID and went, hey, can I buy a gun? I don't think that happened. But back to the photos. That's what we're learning tonight. Also, for those of you just joining us, Savannah Guthrie, look at her, exhausted, and her last plea, the family offering $1 million reward and donating $500,000 to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
I'm coming on to say it is day 24 since our mom was taken in the dark of night from her bed. And every hour and minute and second and every long night has been agony since then, of worrying about her and fearing for her and aching for her, and most of all, just missing her, We know that millions of you have been praying. So many people have been praying, of every faith and no faith at all, praying for her return. And we feel those prayers. Please keep praying without ceasing. We still believe. We still believe in a miracle. We still believe that she can come home. We are at an hour of desperation. And we need your help.
What happened? Was this really a kidnapping?
Totally terrifying situation. You don't know what is real, what is fake at this point.
This criminal did mess up somewhere, and they will be caught.
Also, another distressing fact coming forward tonight as Savannah Guthrie gives an emotional plea, just exhausted, haggard, begging for help, even mentioning that the family has considered that Mrs. Guthrie has passed on. And when she said that, it nearly broke my heart. Quoting Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. I'm certainly no biblical scholar, but I believe that's a Thessalonians quote. Pray without ceasing. You know, I don't know how anybody can hear that and not try to discern the answer about what happened to Nancy Guthrie and where she is tonight. Now, I'm going to take you to the next fragment of evidence we've gotten, and that is a woman screaming, heard and reported to 911 around the time that Nancy went missing. But I want to finish up with what we were talking about, Dave Mack, regarding the two photos, the man with a backpack and without a backpack. Haven't we heard from either Nanos or Patel regarding that? There is no evidence, no hard evidence, it's from an earlier date. Or is there?
No, we're actually, it's all speculation as to when this photo was taken, Nancy. It could be from an earlier date. It could be from a minute before. Investigators have yet to be able to determine it because you really get into no time stamp, no date. There's no nothing on there, just
okay.
a fragment
of photo. So they're saying
photo.
There's nothing to prove or disprove the theory, bottom line. That's a yes, no.
Correct. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, I want to move on to another tidbit of information, and you never know how small or how large a piece of the puzzle you have mined. I want you to hear this 911 call. Listen.
10-4, it's going to be at Oroville and River. The caller is advising they saw a female out of a vehicle window screaming. Then it went northbound on Oroville. The vehicle is a dark gray or blue Chevy Malibu. No plate. Advised that the female was hanging out of the window wearing all black, and the door was also open.
Okay, Dave Mack, that's a shocker. What is that?
That is actually a 911 dispatch describing a caller saying that they're at 201 to 204 in the morning. A woman is seen being screaming for her life out of a window. The door is open. It's going down the road. And by the way, this takes place about 3 miles from Nancy Guthrie's home at the exact time we are concerned about Nancy Guthrie's well-being in that moment, in that minute. That's what's being described. Now, I don't know about you, but Tucson at 2 o'clock in the morning is crazy, apparently, because this is a real call, real date and time. I've never heard of anything like this in my life.
Yeah, her pacemaker disconnecting around 2:28 a.m. Can I hear the 911 call one more time, please?
10-4, it's going to be at Oroville and River. The caller is advising they saw a female out of a vehicle window screaming. Then it went northbound on Oroville. The vehicle is a dark gray or blue Chevy Malibu. No plate. Advised that the female was hanging out of the window wearing all black, and the door was also open.
Okay, that's what we're learning. And again, Dave Mack, tell us the time that occurred very quickly.
2:01 to 2:04 a.m.
2:01 to 2:04 a.m.
Correct.
And her pacemaker, we believe, disconnected around 2:28. Is that correct?
Yes, that is when the Bluetooth no longer connected from her pacemaker to her Apple Watch.
Okay, guys, this is what's happening now. Every piece of information is being examined like a Rubik's Cube. To all of you that are sending ideas, tips, photos, surveillance from the area, don't stop. Don't stop. We are combing through X, Twitter, Facebook, Insta. The reward is now up to $1 million for information leading to the discovery of the whereabouts of Nancy Guthrie. So, Dave Mack, what, if anything, can you tell me about the vehicle the woman was in?
All right, Nancy, it's a dark blue Malibu or Malibu-style car. That's what's being described. When you look at the time period we're talking about, 2:01 to 2:04 a.m., February 1st, this is at the time where we believe the suspect, the kidnappers, are either getting into Nancy Guthrie's home or attempting to get in there. It just seems awfully suspicious to me that less than 3 miles away, at the very time you would need a getaway car to be heading towards the house, aside of parking a car on the street where you know it's going to be seen, let's just say, for the sake of argument, Nancy, that somebody was on their way to assist in the kidnapping, and somebody in the car finds out, where are we going? We're going to finish this. And she panics, freaks out, no, we're not, starts screaming bloody murder, get me out of this car, I'm not part of this, you know? That's all I can think of because of the timing.
This is obviously planned out. This is not your typical crime.
We haven't had any proof of life. We haven't had any follow-up communications about any of the ransom. This could spiral out of control.
You can't rule anything out in this case.
This is the hour of desperation.
We believe our mom is still out there. We need your help.
Savannah Guthrie issuing a heartbreaking plea. The family combined together, offering up to $1 million reward for the whereabouts of Nancy Guthrie. They are also donating $500,000 to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. This in an effort to find their mom. And in her plea, Savannah highlights other missing people and touches on the pain that other families are suffering tonight. This as other video emerges. Let's see it. Dave Mack, take a look at this and explain what we're seeing. Dave, go.
This is the same porch guy that we've been talking about, but this time it's a different place, a different angle. And as you can see, as he's walking, he has a very specific gait, a very specific stride. Watch as he is walking. He's got something tied around his waist. Is that a shirt, a jacket? This is from, again, not the same house. We're not talking at the Guthries. It's a different place, but in the same general area. So we've got him walking at night. And again, see, there we go. A very specific stroll as he's walking. It's odd. Just odd that to be walking at that time.
Yes, guys, we're getting that because we have been watching you from How Tech 2 on X. How Tech 2 on X. Now, Dave, I guess you've gotten your crystal ball out yet again. And you can tell me without a doubt that that's the same guy that was on Nancy Guthrie's porch. Oh, I'd have a field day with you on cross. But you actually may be right. Where are you getting your deduction?
I'm making it up. I'm seeing a guy dressed in very similar outfit to the man on camera at
Did
Nancy
you just
Guthrie's
say
house
you're making it seeing, up?
Well, I'm looking
well,
at
I'm
a
sorry,
video
wait.
At the same
Did you just say you're making it up?
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm making up that
Mute
I actually
him.
See a guy on video.
I'm hearing him. Mute him, and I'm going to let him think about what he just said. Okay. In the meantime, while Dave is pondering his future, straight out of Scott Eicher joining us, digital expert, founding member of Sailor Analysis Survey Team with the FBI. You have thoughts on that. And actually, Dave Mack could very well be right. He could be right. But I want to hear your analysis.
Well, when we're looking at that video there, you can't really tell if it's the same guy or not. But what I don't know is, when was that taken? You know, was it close to near Nancy Guthrie's house? It was interesting that to see after this person walks past the camera that a police car comes by. So someone called the cops on him and maybe he was identified. Is this one of the homeless encampment people that are walking around at night that just happened to be passing by this house? Either way, the important part is neighbors or people in the area are providing their camera information to the authorities, hopefully, not just on X, as you said this gentleman had posted, but they're posting, giving it to law enforcement so they can piece it together just to see if it's relevant or not.
Okay, let's see him walk by again. Let me see that portion where he is walking by, if you can rack it back up. There he goes. Look at that. Is he wearing a hoodie or is he wearing a baseball cap? He definitely has on a backpack with reflective lights on it. I can see them and they're on the shoulders, just like the porch guy. Is he, Dave Mack, you're off probation. Let's see, look at that again. Dave, look at this. Is the jacket he's got wrapped around his waist the one that he's later wearing in the Nancy Guthrie porch video? I mean, you may not be half wrong, Dave Mack, but you're still on double secret probation, Mack, for saying you made something up. But what else are you discerning from it very quickly?
I know. I was just really trying to point out, Nancy, when we're looking at this video from the same neighborhood at night, as Eicher pointed out, you've got a police car actually turning around in the neighborhood. What are the odds that we've got multiple people on any night other than Halloween walking in a neighborhood at night dressed up in a very similar outfit to the person we see later at 1:47 a.m. Or thereabouts on Nancy Guthrie's front porch? It just doesn't seem like something that is a regular occurrence in most neighborhoods.
Pretty low, Dave Mack. odds pretty low. How can it possibly be day 24? Are we any closer to finding Mrs. Nancy Guthrie? Straight out to Dr. Bethany Marshall, renowned psychoanalyst, joining us out of Beverly Hills, who has devoted hundreds of hours to analyzing this case. Dr. Bethany, have you considered a profile of the perp?
Yes, I have. And not only that, I work with geriatrics, which is a term for older people. And the profile of a kidnapper who would kidnap an elderly person is very specific. It's different from, say, a kidnapper who would kidnap a child or a young adult. This person is likely what I would call a dangerous dependent. And what I mean by that is this is probably somebody who is a low wage earner and does not see themselves as responsible for their own lives financially. So they gravitate towards work or relationships with senior citizens where they can exploit them in very complex ways. Say, telling them, I'm going to go to the grocery store and do your shopping for you, but then they take extra money for themselves, or I'm going to do your banking for you, but then they deposit extra money into their own accounts. So what I would be looking at in this case is a kidnapper who works with senior citizens, not necessarily in the Guthrie home, because that has not been identified by the sheriff's office, but maybe somebody who works in a local, say, caregiving facility, a convalescent home, a skilled nursing, and who is well versed in how you can exploit senior citizens for financial gain.
Wow, Bethany, amazing. Now joining us, a true expert in her field, Susanna Ryan, joining us out of Redlands, California, lab director, forensic DNA analyst at Pure Gold Forensics. She's a forensic DNA consultant at Ryan Forensics, and believe it or not, 25 years in forensic DNA and serology. Susanna, thank you for being with us. Big question. Could you, in very rudimentary terms for everybody that hasn't studied or experienced crime lab work, new DNA was discovered in Nancy Guthrie's home when the feds came in to search. That doesn't mean it was just deposited there. It means it was newly discovered. The first search did not reveal it. So my question is, how will authorities go about ruling out every worker, every crime scene investigator that had been in the home, so we're not subjected to claims of cross-contamination?
Well, that can be done pretty simply by getting their DNA profile and doing a comparison to any developed DNA that we get from that crime scene. And I really don't see it as a problem. I think one of the things that you mentioned in the past is we don't have a suspect yet. So we're not creating DNA. We cannot create a DNA profile. Whatever is on that evidence is on there. We don't even have the suspect's DNA to compare it to. So once we have that, if there's a match, we can't, no one can say, they, you know, somehow planted his DNA. We didn't have his DNA. So I really don't see it as a problem. I work on cold cases all the time where we have DNA that, you know, maybe was collected in the 80s or 90s and we're just getting a profile today. That doesn't mean that we somehow created it. It's always been there. We're just developing the DNA profile at this time. So I don't see it as an issue.
Right. You know, while I've got you, Susanna Ryan, before you go back into your lab, I got a question. Nanos stated that the DNA is mixed. You and many other labs deal with mixed DNA all the time. Yes, it's an obstacle, but it's not insurmountable. You have to analyze the DNA, separate the DNA, and then try to get a match. How do you separate mixed DNA? We're not in Stone Age times. It can be done. It's done every day.
That's true, but this is what I think he's talking about is genetic genealogy and SNPs. SNPs, which is single nucleotide polymorphism. So we're looking at single base pair differences, so a lot of data as compared to traditional DNA testing. That's a lot more difficult to deal with mixtures. So he hasn't come out and said that exactly. I think it's kind of lost in translation, but that's my opinion and what he's talking about and why he said the technology is advancing and in weeks or months or a year, we might be able to do something with it. I think he's talking about deconvoluting mixtures of SNPs where we're just not there today. We can deal with a little bit of a mixture. So if you had a two-person mixture and the major contributor was the suspect, that could be worked with. If the minor contributor is the suspect, they really can't do a lot with that right now with SNPs.
Well, Susanna Ryan, now I know why everyone wants you to testify for them. You break down very complicated DNA issues and make it easy for people like us to understand. Again, everyone, if you know or think you know anything about the whereabouts of Nancy Guthrie, please dial toll-free 800-225-5324. Repeat, 800-225-5324. Or if you wish to remain anonymous, 520-882-7463. Repeat, 520-882-7463. The Guthrie family has upped the reward to up to $1 million. If it was your mother, wouldn't you want someone to come forward? Tonight, we remember an American hero, Deputy Sheriff Hunter Reedy, just 27, shot and killed in the line of duty, leaving behind a wife, now widow, and three little children. American hero, Deputy Sheriff Hunter Reedy. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.